is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge.
Because I just went gay all of a sudden.
Weapons of class 4 and lower have been authorized for use during the purge.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty.
Government officials of ranking 10 have been granted immunity from the purge and shall not be harmed.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
Commencing at the siren, any and all crime, including murder, will be legal for 12 continuous hours.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you?
Police, fire, and emergency medical services will be unavailable until tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. when the purge concludes.
General, would you care to step outside?
Blessed be our new founding fathers and America, a nation reborn. May God be with you all.
And he's gonna pull the I have two small kids card.
Is that two cards or one?
That's two cards. But then I can say, yeah, but at least he didn't have cancer.
Oh yeah, you have the cancer card. We talked about that live on an episode. That Matt has the cancer card now, and he gets to play it whenever he wants. Hey, I'm a cancer.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, welcome to the Locker Room Podcast. I'm Tom.
And I'm Matthew.
We've got Matt. Oh. And we've got John. John is here. The only person who is running a little late is Marco. So we're currently placing bets on what will be the reason why he's late. But it's because we're doing it in the evening, so our schedules are, now that we're changing when we record, it's kind of a little weird about how we're all getting together. But anyway, as we talked about, John and I, on our last episode of War Stories, we had Eduardo, and you talked about, Ed's with us, by the way. Hello.
Hello. What's up?
When you were on, we talked a little bit about your company, Brothers in Arms CBD, and towards the end, we started scratching the surface of that subject, and I realized, you know, it's probably a good idea to actually do a little bit of a deep dive, and I thought the Locker Room would be the place to do it, especially because I know Matt, you know, being a cancer survivor, and you've actually used CBD as well.
Yep, still do.
That's right. And you brought along Mervin. Ed brought along Mervin. Hello, Mervin.
What's up, guys? How's everyone doing? Stoked to be here.
Now, you are part of the Brothers in Arms company as well, right? That's where you're here. What do you do there?
Yeah, so my role is I'm behind the scenes guy. Ed is actually the one that, you know, he's more of the face. He's got that pretty smile. So but yeah, so I'm the operations. Yeah,
and apparently a Tecate spot under his belt.
Like, there you go. See, you guys know, you guys heard about that, right?
No, he posted it on his social media and I saw it.
there you have it. So yeah, he's big time. And I handle operations, partnerships, mostly, you know, brand development, anything along those lines. So so we kind of split the roles. You know, he kind of takes on the public relations and kind of doing the outreach and getting in front of people, sharing the vision and what we're doing, and then, you know, I kind of do the fulfillment.
Right. So he's the creative and you're the worker.
That's it. The worker ant.
You do all the work. Right. Exactly. Trust me, I'm an idea guy. And I also need somebody like a Mervin to actually like.
We all need a Merv, I always say.
That's right. But we also were lucky enough to get Nune with us. Say hello, Nune.
Hi, everyone.
Nune is a nurse practitioner who also happens to extol the virtues of CBD. So I thought we would actually get someone who could explain the medical science behind what we're going to talk about, because as we discussed, there's a lot of questions and a lot of, I think, misconceptions, a lot of, you know, just general black hole of knowledge kind of stuff going on with this. And since I've used this particular thing for my own anxiety, and I know Matt has as well, then why not? Let's do this. So, who should we start with? I think, Ed, why don't you tell us about the CBD products of Brothers in Arms and like what you guys offer and what's the, you know, kind of the genesis of the company a little bit for maybe people that aren't familiar.
Yeah, if nobody's ever heard of CBD or Brothers in Arms, we're pretty new. We're a year old, and we started off with an oil, which is our, you know, our little tinctures. You get a little tincture, you get droplets. We have a salve, which is just a fancy word for a cream, you know, like a little lotion, a little jar. And we have capsules. We have gel capsules. So we started with those three because those are, you know, we want to introduce CBD to just everybody's household. You know, we wanted to make it accessible. You know, we figured those are the three most effective ways people can take CBD at home over the counter. And since then, we've been growing. We got gummies now. We're looking at, you know, just, you know, we're looking at all like the cool things that are coming out, right? So you can put it in your foods. You can put it, you can give it to your animals. You know, we now have a pet tincture.
Yeah, I did. I gave it to my 90-pound German Shepherd's got hip problems and arthritis in his feet, and it helps him, so.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's crazy because I have a little rescue cat that I was on my way to the gym and she ran inside and she refused to leave. So, and she's mean, like she's really mean. she's just mean. And I started putting CBD in her food because we have a little peanut butter scented one, and she's just like, the only time she's nice now is when she's on CBD. Like she's cuddly. She naps. Like a nice cat, you know, like it's cool.
What's that, John?
Well, you need a dog.
Yeah.
That's how you fix that problem. You get a dog.
John doesn't like cats because he doesn't know how to cook them.
He went there.
Already.
Yeah. Anybody who doesn't like cats has never had a really good seared cat barbecue.
Hey, you know, I'm in Medellin, and sometimes I eat, you know, street food, and you know, sometimes I do wonder what am I really eating here.
Ese carne de rata.
o gato.
Yeah, right. So Ed, what does CBD even stand for? Let's start there.
So CBD is just short for cannabidiol, short for cannabidiol. Cannabidiol is its medical name, its science name, and it's just been abbreviated into CBD. Just like THC, tetrahydro, it's THC. You know, I never even heard that word, you know, until I got
Delta 9 tetrahydrocannabinol.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was like, what is that? And then people were like, weed, THC. And that's basically, CBD is just the word that came out of Canada.
Okay. Okay. Now, Nune, what's the pharmacological or pharmaceutical difference between Delta, when people talk about THC or weed, the active ingredient in weed, THC, what is the fundamental difference between CBD and THC as a substance pharmacologically?
So as Ed just mentioned, CBD is the cannabidiol version of marijuana, and it's derived by the cannabis active ingredient is cannabis. And then when you associate cannabis with marijuana, that's where I lose most of my patients, because most of them are older and they associate marijuana with pot with potheads, and then it's just an uphill battle.
So right.
It's really important for me to include that. Even though CBD is an essential component of marijuana, it's derived from a completely different plant, which is the hemp plant. And that's just the cousin of the marijuana plant. So the cousin that doesn't get high, the boring one at all the parties. that's how I really describe it to my patients. And they're like, okay, so I'm not going to get the high that everybody else does. I'm not going to veg out all day. And so I have to reiterate, no, absolutely not. The effects of the CBD are completely different than the THC.
And then they say, well, I don't want it.
What's the point?
Right.
At the risk of getting a little too technical, I do want to bring some of that science into it. So the
No, World go for it.
The World Health Organization, the WHO, and other peer-reviewed sources that we can use and share with our patients, such as the National Institute of Health, they all agree that CBD exhibits no effects that are indicative of any abuse or any dependence. So that means, no, you can't get high. Your psychological mental state will not be altered to a euphoric state. And to date, there's absolutely zero evidence of public health concerns that are associated with pure CBD. So not, we're not saying CBD mixed with THC, any of the combination therapies, just pure CBD. And that includes your tinctures, your oils, your topicals, and your gummies.
Right.
Hold on.
And it's a cannabinoid. So I think, I don't even remember. I remember from narcotics days, maybe one of you guys can remember from high school. There's like something like 20, 28 or 32 different cannabinoids, individual different cannabinoids in a marijuana plant. And this is my, from my understanding, an extraction of, and it's again, an extraction of just a specific portion that has zero psychoactive properties whatsoever, but is the agent that carries some of the other healthy properties that you would get. Is that correct? About
anti-inflammatory properties for your chronic pain patients, your anxiety-reducing properties for your anxiety patients, your insomnia patients, all of them, they all have that added benefit only if you're using pure form. So it would be irresponsible for us to tell people, go and just get CBD and it'll help with your sleeping issues. It'll help with your anxiety and insomnia and so on. So it has to be from trusted sources and providers. So, and then there's also things that if people are taking, let's say, Coumadin, which is a blood thinning medication, you cannot take CBD with Coumadin because it has shown to increase the effect of Coumadin. We don't want our patients to bleed out while they're trying to cure their insomnia. So whatever your provider is saying, this should be an added benefit. So if your provider is saying we do Western medicine along with holistic approaches, then that would be the best way to go. It's not that you stop Western medicine completely, because a lot of the drugs that people are on when they start CBD need to be tapered off. So completely stopping them and then starting CBD is not going to help anybody. So you need to work sure. with the provider and stay on task to get to the goal that you have, or your treatment plan that you have with your physician or nurse practitioner or PA, whoever's taking care of you.
Now, I know, Merv, you guys, you and Ed have a lot of, you know, you've kind of broadened your product base, but what do you guys see people, I mean, I see athletes using it, I see veterans using it, I see, you know, soccer moms using it. Why?
No, so that's a great question. And just to expand on a little bit more on Nune, what she was talking about, the cannabinoids, right? So there's actually, to be exact, I think there's 113 different cannabinoids that have been discovered up till now.
See, right? I knew so one of you guys would know that shit.
So you have CBD being obviously the trendiest and most marketable one that we have as of now. But you have CBG, CBA, CBN, all the deltas. You have delta, the huge thing right now with delta 8, right, which is psychoactive, but it's not hasn't been registered, so it's a loophole in the system that allows it to be sold legally, right? So there's a lot of things in that are happening right now. It's really an interesting and dynamic time in this industry. And mostly, you know, obviously all the cannabinoids are going to have different effects on the body. Like Nune said, CBD is an anti-inflammatory. So it helps, you know, reduce inflammation in your joints, different parts of your body, anxiety, stress. Those are different types of inflammations that are affecting you. So, you know, I think people are seeking and starting to understand that pharmaceuticals and prescription drugs are ultimately harming them over the long term. And now that, you know, obviously information is more accessible, they have that information about CBD, CBD products. And obviously I think a lot of people are realizing that they can compound CBD with, you know, healthier habits, better nutrition, better sleep, better, and compound all these things to have a better lifestyle. So I think, you know, it's nice to see people kind of, you know, having an open mind. And I think that's why so many people are open to that conversation.
Sorry, we're getting Marco in here now. So we'll wait till he's the South American connection himself.
Oh, man, what a day.
Marco, I'd like you to meet Ed. and Mervin.
Oh,
and
God, there's a whole bunch of people. I just like, sorry. Wow.
Perfect. All right. So Mervin was telling us, so for some people, it's kind of like a lifestyle thing.
Sure. I think it's a big lifestyle thing. It's a thing. It's maybe people are tired of, you know, dealing with the same prescription drugs, and, you know, dealing with the side effects, and then now looking for something more long term and that more, you know, natural. That's not going to screw them up over the long term as with you know, prescription, you know, Xanax or anything like that. So I think, you know, I think people are getting smarter.
So, Nune, would it be a fair comparison to say, because from what you're describing, it's almost like near beer, right? It tastes like beer, but it's not going to get you drunk. Is that kind of the idea here?
Pretty much. I just think it's very, very unfortunate that the pharmaceutical companies would rather drug people throughout their lives and create this dependence and opioid crisis rather than putting the money into financing the different strains that we can pull from these naturally existing plants. There's no point for them to invest in something like this, because then once we treat people's problems, we can taper them off this stuff and they don't need to be on it ever again. So then who's going to buy Xanax? Who's going to buy the Ativan, Ambien?
Right.
Like we told you, with Ed on the previous podcast, I don't think it has, or I do agree with everything that you're saying, but also even if someone were to stay on something like this long-term, it's still way cheaper. So Big Pharma isn't going to want to invest in anything that is going to be a steady flow of pretty much nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
well, if it's something that you can extract, if you can cultivate it and extract it in your home, right? Let's face it. Most people can't cultivate and extract Xanax. Although I've tried, you know, it's kind of that metric. It's naturally occurring. It's easy to grow, cultivate, and extract. So yeah, you're right, John. The pharmaceutical companies ain't getting theirs. Hood tax. But
because of all of those videos that came out, I'm not sure if you guys saw those little children who suffer from these really intense seizure disorders that none of the medications help. So they started using the CBDs as an anti-seizure therapy, and it reduced significantly. I mean, like 99% to some of the kids not having any seizures at all without any pharmacological therapy, just CBD. And then the same with Parkinsonian tremors. You could watch the video of him getting the CNS simulator and it not working, but then they introduced the CBD. All of a sudden, his tremors just stopped. And this is all over, but no one's funding it because there's no money in it for, like, the companies, I should say, the major companies, not us.
Okay, large pharmaceuticals have been entrenched for so long. I mean, it's a $1 trillion industry, and it does not benefit them in one piece, in any way or shape or form. So I completely agree. It's just not in their best interest.
Companies who will submit for authorizations, who will release authorizations, and then it trickles down all of these, the administrators, the providers, the patients. Nobody cares about the patients at the bottom level. It's just...
Well, think about it. You get people hooked on opioids with, you know, Percocets and Vicodin, and then you give them Suboxone to get them off of it. I mean, it's like you get them, you sell them the crack, and then you sell them the anti-crack.
Sell them the candy, crazy. And then give them the diabetes medication.
Exactly.
So that's an interesting point, because I've always, and I'll put my cards on the table. I worked dope. I had a blast working dope. It was my favorite assignment. We knocked a dude off for 632 pounds of weed one time, but that's because what's that?
When you say working dope.
yeah. What exactly does that mean?
I bought more.
Like working out, like,
I bought more dope as a cop than I ever did in high school. Let's put it that way. So
impressive. Did you just impressive kids to keep buying dope? Like just. Right.
But even when I worked the street, pot was never a big deal to me. And if you were cool, chances are I was just going to grind it under my boot heel and tell you to kick rocks. And if you were really cool, I might let you keep your pipe. Because, and I've discussed this with John, I would much rather go into a house full of people that are stoned than a house full of people that are drunk. right? I've never gone into a house full of stoners and gotten into a giant Donnybrook. However, I have gone into houses with one drunk person and gotten into a giant Donnybrook. So even as a cop, I didn't really give much of a shit about it. And it was barely illegal anyway. It was a ticket, right? However, what did strike me as odd is that you, and Ed, we discussed this a little bit, you take something like the opium poppy, right? You can score it, scrape the opium out of it, and use it, either use it raw or distill it and synthesize it and do all these other things. If you didn't do that with the opium poppy, if Bayer didn't invent heroin in the turn of the century, because it was aspirin and heroin that were Bayer's big two over-the-counter drugs. If Bayer doesn't invent heroin, we don't end up with some of these drugs that allow us to perform life-saving surgeries, right? But what we did to get these drugs was we studied them. We broke them down. We learned what were the little bits and pieces of the mechanisms in opium that we could then synthesize, strengthen, bolster, boost, move around, rearrange, distill into a medication, and use to do life-saving operations. Why we wouldn't do that with something like marijuana made no sense to me. And the fact that marijuana was a Schedule I drug when a drug like methamphetamine is a Schedule II. And for those of you that don't know what that means, a Schedule I drug is declared by the DEA as having zero medical value whatsoever. And a Schedule II drug is a very dangerous drug, but it does have some medical value. So they recognize that methamphetamine has some medical value, but not marijuana. It made no sense to me.
Reefer madness, bro.
Well, that's part of it.
I'm just saying, reefer madness.
Well, what blows my mind is that they're selling methamphetamine salts over the counter, or not over the counter, but with prescription for people who suffer from ADHD, right? So it's I mean, that's the beauty of humanity, right? We always find a way to make things better, but at the same time, it's a double-edged sword, right? Because if it wasn't for these opioids,
we always find a way to fuck it up.
Yeah, amen. You know, that's we're a plague.
Some more than others. So Nune, why is it now all of a sudden? Because it sounds like that although research is being done, it sounds like what you're saying is it's not being done on a large scale.
It absolutely is not. So the peer-reviewed journals that we have that we use to get evidence from and conduct longitudinal studies, they're lacking. So very few, like I did a little research before hopping on here, I found minimal articles that were tested in the past 10, 15 years. And then all the short-term studies that were conducted all have a little disclosure at the end, more evidence is needed. Why do we need more evidence when almost every practitioner, if you ask every practitioner, have you prescribed this medication or do any of your patients use this medication? What is their reported side effects, symptoms, and so on after receiving the therapy? And you're getting this overwhelming response. I mean, I don't see 50, 60 patients a day, but I do see them on a weekly basis. And almost every single one who is on a CBD therapy has positive outcomes. So how is it that I'm one little provider in a rural area and I can give all of these reports and so can all of my friends who are mid-level practitioners and so on, and we can't do this on a large scale. So I always try to advocate for it. I have a lot of patients who are Soviet Army vets, and they have a lot of issues and they hold it all in.
Let me dust off my surprised face.
Like think where people talk about it and it's acceptable to talk about it. These are really macho men that would rather die of stress and anxiety and pent up traumatic stress basically than speak on it. So there was an incident in my own home where I was almost freaking out that I seriously thought that my father was going to jump off the balcony. And I was like, we're done with this. I'm not playing around anymore. We need to start seriously considering other options because he refused to get on antidepressants, him and his friends. None of them want to be on antidepressants. None of them want to try any other therapies. So we got him on a tincture, 600 milligrams. And then I got him on the oils day and night. And not, maybe like 4 weeks after starting therapy, he didn't have a single panic attack or an anxious episode. There's levels to the attacks. So, I mean, he would probably get to a level one and then calm himself down after he took the tincture. So that's just a personal experience that I'm sharing. But I know that from my patients, they're having similar experiences. Now, this is not to say that this is the end all be all and drop all your therapies and start CBD therapy. It's not. Mm-hmm. Some people doesn't work at all. They really do think of it as, okay, whatever. It's just some plants that you want me to try. It's a whatever, crock of shit. So it's my role. I take it as my responsibility to educate them as much as I can about the benefits, but also there are limitations to it. You can't just think that it's going to cure everybody's problems. Some people get extremely nauseous. Some people feel fatigued. Some people are irritable. Some people can't take it because it messes with their hypertension medication. So a lot of things go into it, but I have nothing but good things to say from it.
I'm sorry. Now, from what I've heard about CBD use is that it's not an immediate reaction. Is this correct? That you have to it is a therapy. You have to start a therapy as aided, guided, and instructed, and then you build up your essentially how much CBD you have in your system, and then you start seeing effects. Is that correct? Have I heard right?
Exactly how antidepressants work. So when you mm-hmm. put your patient on an SSRI or an SNRI and they come to you in 2 weeks, they're like, this doesn't work. I still feel like shit. You have mm-hmm. to tell them that they have to continue it because you need to build the chemical in the body until it starts stabilizing. So same concept. The CBDs are not going to instantly turn something off that's missing in the synapses.
I think that's great to know. That's great to hear because I know that a lot of people CBD CBD use is commonplace in my industry. I haven't really tried much of it, but it's really commonplace in my industry. I hear about it all the time. And that's the one thing that I hear is that, you know, you have to pay attention and you have to follow directions. It's not a big pharma drug. So it's not, you don't pop a pill and then, you know, you're going to be high as for the next, like, you know, for the next 6 to 8 hours. It is something that is meant for the long haul, right? That is correct. It's meant for long term kind of thing. Well,
that and compounding it with, you know, other you know, lifestyle changes, right? If you're drinking all the time and you're feeling depressed and you continue to drink and not do anything and you're just taking CBD all of a sudden, it's not going to, you know, stop end your depression, right? It's like, mm-hmm. you know, that's why our vision is, you know, we have our platform being CBD, but you know, with that, we want to also educate people about, you know, healthier lifestyles, healthier, you know, nutrition, you know, better, you know, all of these different things that are going to create a better ecosystem for you to have a better life, right? Because if you're just using CBD and expecting it to, you know, cure all your ailments, you know, you're screwed. You know, there's no magic pill that's going to do that for you, right?
Right, and that's the same with anything. I mean, that is actually one of my biggest problems with anybody who touts anything as a cure-all, a miracle, a wonder drug, or whatever, because inevitably mm-hmm. people start over-promising and under-delivering, and you know, a lot of people might think CBD is a modern version of, I call it snake oil, because, you know, the old snake oil salesman, it's a cure-all, you know. But when you hear people say, I have taken it for my anxiety, I've taken it for an anti-inflammatory, I've taken it for depression, I've taken it for this, I've taken it for that, and they go, well, what doesn't it cure? You know, if you pour it on a boil, does it go away? If you rub it on your face, does it cure a zit? So I think that is a danger of not explaining to people that it's not this, you know, wonder drug of things. So I'm glad you brought that up.
So is it safe to say that when you're taking CBD and you're making lifestyle changes, it's amplifying what the CBD is doing chemically in your body?
Well, if you're taking off the toxins, Yes. So you're getting rid of all the bad stuff or trying to minimize the bad stuff. And then the good stuff is helping more. So just a common sense factor, not even a scientific factor.
Right.
So drinking, binging, I stop binging. The CBD effects are going to be better than if I'm just drunk all the time. But I also wanted to add, Marco, for the long-term therapies, that's more for the oils that people are ingesting and the tinctures that people are ingesting. The topicals, the creams, they work at kind of like, I don't know if you guys have heard of Voltaren, Voltaren gel. It has some sort of lidocaine numbing agent. So whenever you rub the CBD oils, not the oils, I'm sorry, the creams, in the joints and all that, your effects are almost immediate. It's very similar to the absorption method of Voltaren gel.
Okay. Yeah, I have a question about that. So I've had 8 surgeries on my right foot. I almost lost my right foot in a motorcycle wreck. And this last one, I had the 2nd through 5th TMT joints fused. I've had hardware in and out. So it's like, I'm still running and jumping and playing all that stuff, but I've been kind of bounce-ish. Yeah. Hey, man, I'm running 5 miles on the beach. Kiss my ass.
First of all, I need you to stop lying and tell everybody the truth that it was from a ping pong accident. So anyways, carry on.
As a tragic beer pong incident.
Yeah.
It's terrible, terrible business. Terrible business. Business. We were all there.
So
I seen the whole thing.
I was there.
But so I've been kind of like bouncing around, driving blind, just like buying, you know, this topical stuff, rubbing it, you know, on my foot, and some days it'll feel a little better. And I know the extent of the damage that I have in my foot. It's like bone. It's more than muscle and ligament and tendon. It's literally bone. Should I just keep, and I haven't seen a doctor, you know, about, because none of my doctors are like, you know, pumping the CBD, you know. But is there a certain, for those of us that have like, you know, severe joint pains and stuff, is there a certain like milligram that I should be looking for as far as in the, you know, in the lotion?
Chronic pain disorder, or do you have chronic pain disorders?
I'm sorry, you cut it out. Say that one more time.
Have you been diagnosed with a chronic pain disorder, or do you have a chronic pain disorder, or you know that it's just a response to the injury that you've had?
Yeah, I know it's just a response to the injury. I've had so much trauma sustained to that foot that it's been hurting ever since the accident.
So now he has been diagnosed with an asshole though, but that's beside
right.
The point. Do you have a CBD? Yeah. Will help
CBD
him with that.
Cure that.
I don't know if there's a dose not. That we can we double him up? You know, help a brother out.
Do you have a CBD suppository that because I'd give it to him.
Pretty big, but yeah, like
I could take it.
No, go ahead, Nune. Can you hear me? Yeah, we can hear you. Sorry, yeah. We're just fucking around.
No, I'm just saying, this is the problem of not having enough research, is that I can't tell you, hey, you tried 400, let's try 600, or let's try 800. The reason why we need the research is to tell us, hey, for these problems, these joints, we need 600 milligrams twice a day, applied generously, or applied conservatively, so on and so forth. So it's like, it's kind of a trial and error on the patient's part. It's not
okay. Something
that can tell you, like, grab a dime size, or whatever the situation is. It's something that you need to figure out on how it's going to benefit you. And that's the bad part about all of this, because we are not studying it. We're not studying the dosing. We're not studying any of that. So it's kind of like, what do you guys call it? Shot in the dark?
Yeah. Well, and that goes back to what I was saying about the all this research and money that gets thrown at, for example, opium, you know, or making opioids. And yet we can't get a little research into something that's proven to be effective without causing all of the problems that opioids do. And don't tell me it's not about money. And I'll give you a perfect example of how it's absolutely about money is most people don't understand that Coca-Cola still has cocaine in it. And how can that be? Well, because Coca-Cola is legally allowed to import coca leaves. Nobody else can. But Coca-Cola can import coca leaves and have them decoconized so that they can still make their Coca-Cola flavor formula. And guess what? Like anything else in life, ladies and gentlemen, when they say it's 100% fat-free, they mean it's 99. 7% fat free. So when these leaves have been quote unquote decoconized and have the cocaine taken out of them, they've had 99% of the cocaine taken out of them. So Coca-Cola still has teeny tiny amounts of cocaine. I'm not mad at Coke for still having a little bit of cocaine in their Coca-Cola, but I am saying that clearly if the FDA and the DEA is willing to let fucking Coke bring in coca leaves to make goddamn soft drinks, then why can't we throw a couple of bucks at a marijuana company that wants to bring it in and study it?
By the way, it sounds like there's nothing soft about that soft drink.
You know, that's why grandmothers always say, you know, when I'm back in my day, I could do so much more than you guys. Well, that's because you have cocaine in your soft drinks there, Grandma.
Could you imagine Grandma getting to the last little sip, the last little droplets of the fucking can, and rubbing that shit in her gum? She's like, Let me get just a little bit, just one more sip, so I can go ahead and finish clean the bathroom before the grandkids get here. You know, yeah,
you kids are so soft nowadays, Grandma. You could buy over the counter heroin. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, here's Sharp getting over to Grandma's house, and she's over here like. I just dried it. I need a little more sugar. I just dried it first before I'm taking this down.
Okay, so big question for Ed, Nune, and Mervin, because this would be and was my first question. I'll tell you right now, my wife has MS. That's how I started getting like hip to what CBD was, because as a cop, I could not have my wife get a recommendation for marijuana and start using it. It was not going to work. But as CBD started to come out, we started to do some research and use it. And it does. The creams, she has bad knees from falling all the time, but the creams do help her knees, right? So I started to really realize that this stuff, it works, and then wonder why we're not researching it more. But my question then to you guys is what I wondered about back when we first started looking at this, which is, is somebody using this stuff going to pee dirty? Is a FedEx driver who, you know, gets random drug tests because FedEx doesn't want their drivers driving these big old vans while they're high, is he going to pop hot on a piss test because he uses CBD?
But that's a great question. So, first of all, you're going to have a variety of extracts, right? So for example, CBD isolate, which is the purest form of CBD, it's 99.95% pure or better, right? So that means that's the only cannabinoid that's going to be used in making any of your products. So no, you're not going to be pee dirty from using anything that's isolate derived. You can use a full spectrum. Full spectrum is going to have, may have over 0.3% THC in it, but then it wouldn't be able to, you wouldn't be able to sell it. You can get a broad spectrum, which is 0%, so the difference between a full spectrum and a broad spectrum. Broad spectrum is going to still have all those cannabinoids, all the terpenes, but you're not going to have any THC in it. So if you're going to consume anything that's broad spectrum, you're not going to dirty. There's no chance because there's 0% THC in it. And for the full spectrum, you have at least a 0.02 or 0.03% THC in it. So the idea, if you're getting it from a trusted source, is that you're not going to pee dirty, you're not going to be high, you're not going to have any problems with it. So always, you know, checking with your manufacturer, making sure that you're getting lab results with your products, and verifying that the THC amounts are under that 0.3%. So okay. In other words,
right. You drink enough Coca-Cola, you might piss dirty for cocaine. You drink enough poppy seed muffins, you might piss dirty for heroin, I guess. I don't know. But is that about right, Nune? Does that sound? I mean, have you ever had a patient that you're prescribing this to have issues with it?
My patients are all over 65, so.
So they're not peeing dirty at all.
No, not at all. And if they are, more power to them. But my whole thing about what you guys mentioned earlier about the FDA and why aren't they doing the research and how come they're regulating Coca-Cola and allowing it to have Coke in it. It's because it's indirectly benefiting them. So we can't get this off the medical scene or more involved in the medical scene without some privatized funding. And I don't know who's lobbying for that. I don't think anybody's lobbying for that.
Yeah, you need anytime you want somebody lobbying for funding, you need either somebody rich or somebody famous to come down with a condition that requires the treatment of that specific, and then all of a sudden money comes out of the woodwork. So
well, yeah, that's what's his name? He has Parkinson's.
Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, so he's a big advocate. He's not doing much. Well, he can't do much else, but he's a big advocate. Just not throwing enough money, I guess.
Or maybe, it's still so new that people are, how much of it do you think is honestly corporate involvement in keeping this kind of a thing down? Mark, what do we call them? Unpopular political hypothesis?
Unpopular political hypothesis.
Not a conspiracy theory.
No, it's not a conspiracy theory.
It's an unpopular political hypothesis.
Hypothesis. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That how much of it would be that a corporation or entities, because you always hear the stories, I mean, I did, that, it just so happens that nylon was being developed at the same time that hemp rope and all this other stuff. So Dow Chemicals got the Marijuana Tax Stamp Act passed so that they could put you out of business growing hemp and they could make nylon. You know, you hear all that kind of stuff, you know, from all the National Organization to Reform Marijuana Laws and stuff like that. How much of that do you actually think comes into play when you're talking about something like CBD, where there really isn't, as far as I can tell, a good reason that people aren't willing to, especially scientists, reputable doctors, laboratories, that not willing to fight for it? It would seem that there has to be a reason why they're literally turning a blind eye to it.
Do you guys watch Vice? Have you seen any episodes of Vice?
Vice News?
Sure.
Yeah. Have you seen the one where there was a scientist who he's like, I have the cure for cancer, and in 2021 I'm going to release that cure. And everything has been done to debunk the scientist. Everything that you can think of has been done. He gets death threats. He gets the cancer he's trying to cure, it's kind of controversial because he's using smallpox and HIV to cure it, but he has a very, very high success.
Yeah. Wow.
It's like you cure cancer, but you got the HIV. Sorry, guys.
Right. Yeah, but you know what? Nowadays, you just inject some money right into your veins and no more HIV.
The high five goes away.
Hey.
That's it.
Do you guys
never drop? So anyway, aside from that, how did the you guys know how the opioid crisis started in the 90s when pharmaceutical reps were going into the doctor's offices and saying, this is OxyContin, it'll cure all of your patients' pain. And so we got OxyContin pumped into the public, general public, urban areas, rural areas, teenagers, accident patients, vets, anything you can think of. Here's Oxy. Fast forward 5 years and we have an opioid crisis because they told us that it has no addictive properties. And it's
my ass. Okay, so I can tell personal anecdotes from this because that's about the time that I came into law enforcement was oxys were becoming the thing, you know, and it was, I mean, you could tell how good your oxy dealer was because he could get, you know, he could get 20s or 30s or 40s, you know, as opposed to 10s, right? And you know, it's funny is because they, you know, they called it hillbilly heroin, they called it all these different things, but what you had was a pill that young people were willing to do recreationally, and then a pill that a lot of people were getting prescribed to them that had the net effect of turning every single person on that pill into a junkie, a heroin addict. And then when all of a sudden, and I love how magically Oxy's, the companies magically came up with a binder that would prevent you from crushing it and getting high off of it as the kids were doing. Like you couldn't have invented that day one when you came up with this drug bullshit.
Well, Well, the FDA passed that, right? They passed it and approved it, and they were able to market it as a non-addictive drug for pain.
Right.
So why would they authorize something like this, which is an actual non-addictive drug for pain?
Right. So then when Oxy started to get cracked down on, guess what all those kids had to go turn to? Actual heroin.
Besides, we're talking about money too. So I'm trying to think. I would say at least 90% of people that I come in contact with that are addicted to heroin started with pills. That's how it started. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And
then almost 100% of them that are now addicted to heroin, it got too expensive. It was just too much money. What's the next best thing? Your addiction's there and heroin's cheap as shit until you start getting into, obviously there's different types of heroin and whatnot, but.
Oh, the worst is that crocodile stuff. A lot of the Slavic countries. Have you guys seen that?
We saw that in Florida. Have you guys seen the videos out there?
Yeah,
it's basically so you know how in the late 2000s, early 2010s, you had Breaking Bad and you had people trying to make meth in their house. So the opioid crisis has in a lot of Slavic countries has gotten so bad they're trying to make heroin. And they're trying to make Oxy kind of a drugs, and so they're able to go and buy the prescriptions and then use a chemical process. It's kind of like freebasing an opiate, right? Only the problem is the way they're doing it and the nasty shit they have to put in it to get it to do this is now necrotizing the flesh, peeling it away and exposing bone. And so these people, what's that?
Is that because they're injecting it into the muscle or just...
So they're doing intramuscular, right? Or they're doing intravenous, but either way, it's necrotizing the flesh. And I've seen videos, you talk about Vice, I saw one on Vice had a special and they showed a patient, it was the most upsetting, just Google it. They call it crocodile because before your bone gets exposed, your flesh actually looks like crocodile skin. Because it's going that necrotic, but I literally saw the doctor pulls the patient's arm out to their side, takes his fucking pen and goes click, 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 click right on the inside of their bicep. He's tapping the exposed bone. And this guy's sitting there looking at him like, yeah, that sucks. If you don't think that this pharmaceutical industry and this opioid crisis is fucked, then you need to rethink your entire priorities. But that still leads my question is, do you think that people are legitimately trying to keep this down, or are they just saying there's no money in it, so we're just going to turn a blind eye to it?
Well, the thing is that there is a lot of money in it, right? Because that's what's happening right now. We're at a tipping point. If you look at CBD, it's becoming a global movement because you go all the way from Canada to the US, to Mexico, Uruguay, and then all the way down here to Latin America. We have Colombia, Argentina, Chile, Ecuador, Peru. All these countries have legalized the cultivation of now CBD products. You have Brazil who's getting into the movement. Even you go all the way to, you know, Israel, right? They're doing massive research on CBD and THC products cultivation. You go into Spain, you go into Italy, you go into even Turkey, right? And all these countries are, you know, large cultivators, they're large producers. So I think we're getting into a point where people are seeing, like, for example, I'm here in Colombia and they're moving into the CBD cannabis space because they're seeing it as the savior to the economy after the pandemic. So I think, you know, in the U.S., you take the innovators, right? You take the Colorados, you take the Oregons, people that have been in this industry for a long time. And, you know, CBD itself, CBD isolate was $25,000 a kilo 5, 7, 8 years ago, because it was highly, it was the new kid on the block. Now it's going for $500 a kilo of CBD isolate. You have CBG, CBN, CBA, which are the new cannabinoids that have been discovered for different uses, and those are going for $15,000 to $20,000 a kilo. So, you know, you got to take all these things into consideration. You know, there's a lot of people, a lot of private investors, and a lot of money that's being pumped into the industry But it's just the U.S. is being it's a very difficult industry because you can't you don't have banking. And all of these people that are starting to, that were making a bunch of money, were like, okay, this is great. But then all these other new people got into the industry, driving the prices down. So it's a rocky space right now, but it's still very innovative. And you have Coca-Cola, for example, they have cultivation and extraction facilities for hemp in Puerto Rico. They're investing in Uruguay. You have Canadian companies coming in. They've invested over $800 million in here in Latin America. So it's just, you know, they're looking to outsource the cultivation to Latin American countries because of the way and how cheap it is for labor and how accessible it is. So if they're able to cultivate it here, extract it here, and sell it for, you know, Canadian dollars or U.S. dollars, they're crushing the market. So I think it's just a matter of time before people start, you know, embracing it and really, you know, I think it's a huge opportunity for the global economy to really embrace CBD. So I think it's a battle between visionaries and people that see the potential of the industry and, you know, obviously, you know, pharmaceuticals that are, it's a battle. And I think Colorado and all these other states that are seeing huge influx of taxing from, you know, from selling cannabis and CBD products are gonna say, this is the way to do it. We're gonna crush it, and it's gonna, you know, help the economy. So that's my perspective, and that's the way I've seen the market kind of move as of right now.
Do you think that developments of extractions of THC and how popular that's getting, such as Delta 8, for mm-hmm. example?
We missed it when we brought that up earlier.
Well, that's awkward.
Actually, no, I'm curious because I have not heard of Delta 8. So please do go on with the chlorophyll.
Do you think the development of, you know, the development and refining of Delta 8 products, which are getting, you know, immensely popular right now, do you think that is also hindering the growth and expansion of the CBD industry itself? Is it taking some of the light away from it, you know?
I think, you know, you're going to have, you know, people are going to be interested in getting that in getting high regardless. And if they're going to find a legal loophole to do it. So you take any synthetic or any designer drugs, right? You go China or some of these countries that are designing them. All they do is change the molecular, like the structure. And then they add one molecule here, one molecule there, and it becomes legal again, even though it has the same psychoactive or, you know, psychedelic effects. So I think, you know, we're always going to have people that are really smart, really creative, trying to find these loopholes. I think the Delta 8 loophole is something that's going to be exploited for as long as they can until it gets closed. But then there's going to be something new that they're going to find.
Same thing happened with salvia.
Yeah,
you know, exactly.
That's the same thing. It was legal because they had never made it illegal. And, you know, so.
Not for human consumption on the packaging.
Now, Nune, you use this a lot with your patients. Well, I guess you recommend it a lot to your patients is a better way to say it. But out of curiosity, what are the real deal medical proven properties that aren't like anecdotal? What does it do?
We have evidence of anti-inflammatory effects. So my arthritic patients, osteoporosis patients, osteoarthritis patients, degenerative disc disease, anything you can think of the joints where there's inflammation, and we don't want to keep throwing NSAIDs at them. So your non-steroidal anti-inflammatories are killing your stomach, basically. And especially if they're over 65, it's very harsh on their stomachs.
And that's like Advil, naproxen, those kinds of things.
All your ibuprofens, basically.
All the NSAIDs. Okay.
Your Advils, Motrin. And these are all over-the-counter things that we take. I take it like once a week. So if I'm taking it and I'm building this damage to my stomach, the lining of the stomach, and that's what it does. It creates, it can cause ulcerations. So if you're 65, it's going to amplify those effects. So if I want them to stop doing that, I want them to try the CBDs. And anytime that I've had them try it, they'll do it in conjunction. They'll just drop down the naproxen use. So they're getting good results. And I'm happy with it because I know that down the line, they're not going to come complaining to me because they have GERD and reflux. And that's a whole other issue that we're dealing with.
Oh, God, yeah, right.
Every single patient has GERD or reflux. So, and it's all lifestyle. We eat, we lay down. We eat, and then we take ibuprofen. We, all of these lifestyle we've gotten used to is causing long-term damage to our bodies. And it's like, at that point, it's kind of really late for them to have not used the ibuprofen or NSAID therapy for 20 years. But for us and the future generations, it's better to start at a younger age to prevent those long-term chronic disorders, which are causing all of these deficits in the healthcare field. We're like, what are we, trillions in debt because of our healthcare? And because we're taking care of these diabetic dialysis, and these end stage patients, they get end stage long-term NSAID use. So end stage renal disease. There's no benefit to using all of these, I don't want to say Western medicine, but all of the medications that pharmaceutical companies keep pumping us, everything I've learned in school. We didn't have a term for holistic therapies. Everything I've kind of learned is just because I'm open to using all therapies to treat our patients, not just something that has been drilled in me because doctors have been using it for 20, 30 years. We have better options out there. So again, I use it a lot for my mental health patients too, for anxiety, insomnia, the PTSD umbrella, essentially. And this is not your cure for PTSD. This will not cure night tremors or terrors or anything like that.
It'll certainly take the edge off.
Yeah. But the problem is...
But isn't that what you're looking for? Yeah. You're looking for something that'll help you get to a manageable level so that you can do the cognitive behavioral therapy, or you can talk about something. Because I guarantee you, one of the things that I've learned, you know, from my career and from doing the show is when people get talking about stuff, although the talking itself is therapeutic, it still ratchets them up, and they will need something to take the edge off. Mm-hmm. And typically that's, you know, a brew dog or a road soda or a cocktail of some kind. But if they can learn how to do it with something else, you're saying that this could replace whatever it was, the Xanax, the Valium, the Klonopin, the whatever they're using to take the edge off, this might be able to fill that gap. Is that what you're saying?
Patient, absolutely. The Harvard Medical Journal published a study saying that CBD can and does help with both falling asleep and staying asleep. Sometimes our Ambien and all of our insomnia medications can help you fall asleep, but you don't stay asleep for long. And the reason why you're waking up tired and unrested and irritable is because you didn't get your full cycles. So you wake up in the middle of the night and then you go back to sleep, wake up, go back to sleep. So one of the benefits of the CBDs is that you're taking it, you're falling asleep, and you're staying asleep until you complete your sleeping cycles.
Great. Do you think, for example, someone like myself, do you think CBD can help me with my cupcake addiction? Is that what you're saying? Because Fatty loves cupcakes. Fatty loves cupcakes. I'm just saying.
But that is a good question. Does CBD give you the munchies?
No. I haven't experienced any. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm out.
And who was not eating. I do have a patient who was not eating. She was on hospice. We were about to get her on a morphine drip. And I intervened and I was like, hell no, stop this right now. We got her on the oils. We got her on the creams. She wasn't eating. She refused eating. I had her on a drip. I stopped the drip. She started eating. She has cravings now. So, and she was supposed to die a year ago. So
you could chalk that up to munchies, or you could just chalk it up to her fucking feeling better.
Or that the inflammation in her stomach went down from the small bowel.
Right. That's what I mean. Like she was actually improving, and thereby she got an appetite.
The family.
I like to picture her rolling a joint, you know, with the whole "I love you, Mary Jane" in the background. You know what I'm saying? With like as a pizza's being delivered. You know, I'm just, that's a happy ending for me. That's a happy ending.
You're going out in style.
I'm just now, saying.
But because she never tried any of this stuff before, I can tell you that she knows that it is derived from a hemp plant, and she does. I want to say it's a placebo effect. She does act like she's high. So mm-hmm. I just, and this is somebody who
That's
is
adorable.
Grandma who literally has never ever touched a cigarette or drank a shot in her life.
That is adorable.
I'm gonna go on the record by saying I don't think I could keep my poise. I think I would slip her a Mickey one night, you know what I'm saying? Actually like oh, here you go, here's some CBD.
No, I just love that I'm just have this picture of this, you know, because my family's all, you know, half Russian, and my little old grandma Olga would be like, no honey, I'm high. It's, and she's like, she's not high at all. She's just, she's like, no, I'm all fucked up.
What if she hits you with the opposite? What if she hits you with a classic? Let me get some for my
glaucoma.
For my glaucoma. Let me get some of CBD for my glaucoma.
Well, okay. So that's interesting because the medical marijuana laws passed right around the time my grandfather got bone cancer. And I remember, you know, I was about 17 years old and watching him, you know, try and Marco was there and watching my grandfather try and roll a joint. And luckily he used to roll his own cigarettes. So he kind of knew what he was doing. And Marco and I were like, man, we can't tell him that we know how to do this better.
No.
But at one point he would puff it and then he'd take a little puff and then put it out and save the rest for later. And this, that, and the other thing. And I finally had to tell him, I'm like, Grandpa, it's not going to work when you do that. The whole point is to actually like do that. But I think that's a big fear because what he told me was, is that he, you know, didn't want to be a drug user. He didn't want to get high. And so for him, the stigma of, yeah, you've got terminal cancer, Grandpa, you could start drinking and I don't care, do whatever you want. But he didn't want, that was a mental barrier for him. So I think there's going to be a lot of people listening to this, and hopefully they're because there's probably an age group, the young adopters, and the old people are like, fuck it, I have nothing to lose. But there's this whole middle ground of, you know, 30 to 55 where they're, you know, devil's lettuce, reefer madness, you know. But it's not that, is what you're saying.
No, not at all. I personally come from a very conservative Armenian family, and once I had a couple of patients, and the way that it's a family business, we're all in it together. So once they saw these patients,
I hear that's how Armenians roll.
Yeah, that's just how we roll. Once they saw these patients turning around, I'm literally talking about a hospice patient on morphine drip, turning around. She literally was about to die. They're all open to it. So my dad, my mom, my sisters, like, it's just, it's not a stigmatized thing anymore because they're able to differentiate between the CBD and the THC. So when you start mixing them and when you start doing combination therapies is when it gets a little tricky when it comes to educating the public about it. So it's very important to use our platforms in a responsible way because we don't want to spread misinformation.
Right, right. Well, I think that's kind of why we did this episode, because, you know, we talked to Ed about what he's doing over at Brothers in Arms, and it kind of spiraled into the last few minutes where, like, you know, that there's a lot more to talk about there, and we've clearly talked about it for longer than we probably should have on this episode. But is there anything, Ed and Mervyn, tell us, the audience, a little bit about Brothers in Arms, a little bit where they can find you and stuff like that, and then John and I can announce that we are, you know, working on something with you guys, I guess. Did you hear me or did I freeze?
Yeah, I was like, go ahead, anytime. You're cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're looking for Brothers in Arms, you want to go straight to the website and learn more about everything that we talked about. We have an awesome FAQ there, our frequently asked questions. If you just, you know, want to watch some more videos, read some blogs, you can check us out at The Brothers N Arms. So that's The Brothers, and it's the letter N, arms.com. And if you want to check us out on Instagram, go ahead, give us a follow. We'll follow you back. It's The Brothers N Arms. And if you want to follow my personal, you know, it's Ed Cardoso. And you can ask me any questions about CBD, the military, and about just my experience using it if you want.
Now, we also put up a link to your Brothers in Arms CBD company on our website in the shopping section, so where people to go buy the t-shirts and the patches and stuff like that. So if you guys want to find Brothers in Arms, you can go to thewarstoriesofficial.com, click the link of the banner or click the logo, and it'll take you right there. But we're going to start working together. First things first, we're going to do our giveaway. Brothers in Arms has awesomely agreed to throw in some swag for our upcoming giveaway. Ed's agreed to send us some CBD stuff that they have so we can try it out for ourselves and testify to its efficiency and efficacy. But also, if you guys want to support War Stories, we're going to be partnering with Ed and Brothers in Arms. And if you want to support Locker Room, you can go to our website, click the link. It'll take you to Brothers in Arms. And then Ed will be able to see how many of you guys are going and making your purchases at Brothers in Arms. So it won't cost you anything extra. In fact, hopefully we'll have some stuff where we can get you guys some better deals, but it'll help support us by them realizing that you're going to visit their company through us. Nune, what do you want to leave? Like, what's the takeaway from this as the nurse practitioner that people don't understand, or that you, the message that you're trying to get people to get?
I would say that trying therapies that may not necessarily be something that your doctor recommends or providers recommend is completely okay, as long as it doesn't mess with your regular medication schedule. So if your doctor approves and your provider approves, it's worth a shot to try and get off some of the stuff that are causing long-term damage to your organs. So this is how I approach it with my patients, and this is how I would want the general public to view it, as just another additional support, something more holistic versus pharmacologic.
Okay. And it sounds like, for the most part, it can't, unless with very few exceptions, it can't hurt. You know, you were talking about some adverse reactions if you're on some serious medication, but anytime you're on serious medication, you need to consult your doctor before you start taking vitamins, let alone something like CBD.
Right. So adverse events are very rare in this case, and we just need more funding to study them so that if they do happen, if we do have adverse events, even if it is one in 100,000, that we can report it and we can make our public aware of them. But so far, we're seeing, I don't want to throw the word miraculous out there, but I'm seeing miraculous results from my patients.
That's good.
Do you know any websites or anything like that you can toss out there where people can go and research or you know, kind of keep informed? Or
any website that is a peer-reviewed forum, such as the National Institute of Health, CINAHL, Harvard Publishing, any of those sites. When whatever you see says peer-reviewed, that means that another scientist, many other scientists, have reviewed and they agree, and the foundations and the ethical principles of a long-term or short-term clinical study have been upheld, you can use those. Obviously, World Health Organization, CDC, they're all for this stuff. There's no negative reports on CBD use to treat chronic pain, to treat anxiety disorders, insomnia, and things like that. So there's a lot of research out there. People have to be open to it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things we've harped on in this show. We've done episodes on spanking. We've done episodes on unpopular political hypotheses. and we just encourage people to do the research for themselves. Look for yourselves. If, you know, we're telling you what we know. We're having Nune on. We're having Ed on and Mervin on to tell you what they know. But ultimately, you're responsible for your own damn self. So do the research. If it sounds like something that you want to try, go for it. Talk to your doctor, whatever. But I'll tell you what, I've tried it. It didn't make me high. And I did feel, you know, some benefits from it as far as anti-inflammatory and anti-anxiety. That's just me. And I will tell you right now, I totally support it and think it works. So I appreciate everybody coming on. Matt, do you have anything?
Sorry, what was that?
I think we're experiencing a little bit of a delay here at the end, but I wanted to ask Matt or Marco or John if you guys had anything as we close out.
No, I'm an advocate of it too. I use the oils at night to help me get to sleep because Ambien wasn't doing it for me. Yeah.
Off Ambien?
Oh yeah, I've been off it for a while. The last time I took it was a few years ago, and I stopped taking it because my ex at the time had to stop me from leaving the house naked with my car keys in my hand.
Yeah.
And I don't remember.
I've had to do that with you, and I didn't.
Yeah, but that wasn't from the Ambien, though. I remember that.
Yeah, I talk about giving you the munchies, by the way. Ambien gives you the munchies, something fierce. So,
yeah, but yeah, no.
It also makes people burglarize their own garage.
I'm gonna talk with these guys some more and do some more of my own research and figure out what I'm doing wrong with this lotion shit that I've been getting, and hopefully, yeah, have some better outcomes with my foot.
Marco?
Huh?
Did you have anything at the end?
Yeah, actually, I'm a little bit familiar with CBD. I use the CBD. I use a 500 milligram CBD cream on my wrist and on my elbows for new listeners that they'll not know, and our new guest. I'm a tattoo artist, so I'm constantly using my hands, leaning forward, and I am a larger mammal. So with that, it's a bad combination of bad posture and and a severe love for cupcakes, as I mentioned earlier. I love me some cupcakes. So I actually have found out that with constant use of this product, that it does help. It has helped, and I do not feel the symptoms of arthritis actually on my wrist. I'm not saying that it's all gone. I'm just saying that it has helped considerably, and I'm able to tattoo for a lot longer sessions at one time. So y'all need to get some. Go out there. You know what I'm saying? Pound the pavement. Knock on doors. Get out there. Rally up.
I know that most of your listeners are males, probably, but
how dare you?
You'd be surprised, yes, actually.
You would be surprised.
For anyone who is a mom who's taking care of babies, who's constantly like carrying and doing this motion, you know that your lateral and internal epicondyle right here, you're having major, major joint issues right here if you're constantly doing that. Even dads, I don't make sure the moms are the only ones carrying.
Oh no, men have problems with their elbows for entirely different reasons.
So it can help with elbow pain, but if you are breastfeeding, if you are a pregnant mother or breastfeeding, I would not recommend trying any of this stuff unless it's to the point where you're taking something for it. Then this could be an actual alternative. But again, there's no studies or enough funding to study and see if this crosses the placental barrier or if it will affect the baby.
Yeah, and good luck finding a mom who wants to take that study on herself.
There are people who are studying marijuana use in pregnancy right now. So.
Oh, wow. I knew some girls growing up that I don't know if I would have called it studying marijuana use during pregnancy, but they were certainly. John, do you have anything as we go?
No, I mean, it's definitely informative. I've never used any of these products with myself being in law enforcement still. So, I don't know if it's weird because I know we talked about that stigma, whatever. And I don't know if I would feel comfortable using any of these things, but that's just because of lack of knowledge, not because I don't think it works. I do believe that it works because, you know, both my parents are retired law enforcement. They use it. They say it works. I'm not saying it doesn't work. It's just more of like the last thing I need is to piss hot on a test and then I'm out of jobs for the thing. So, besides that, I know that a lot of our listeners, your guys' listeners here are our listeners on the War Stories podcast too. So, we have been teasing a giveaway for a while now, and I know we have. So just so everybody knows that we're just waiting on some products from you guys so we could tease those products, and then that'll be added to that giveaway as well.
Right. Yeah, so we got a bunch of cool products, tinctures, different flavors. We got our chill gel, which is pretty rad. You put it on, it really helps immediately.
Rub some on your gums.
There you go. And we got some gummies. Boom, those are always a nice treat. Yeah. So we'll send you guys a nice little care package so you guys can
take it. Hercules.
and then we'll have some for you guys to try as well. Obviously, we want everybody to check it out and then have your own testimony.
Well, you'll have a lifelong customer in Marco if you come up with CBD cupcakes.
I can get him some CBD tattoo numbing cream and some lube if he wants it.
Wait a minute.
I mean, Marco looks wild. Marco looks like a wild guy of the bunch.
No. Marco wants the numbing cream, but Matt wants the lube. So go ahead and say
both. It's edible.
Can you imagine? I'm like, hello, customer. I'm just going to head and just... Hold on. This is okay. This is natural. This is part of the tattoo process. Don't look at me like that. Don't look back at me. You're ruining the moment right now. What are you doing? Hey,
take me out to dinner first.
That's right. All right. Geez, well,
you get McDonald's.
But you could supersize it. So there's that.
Yeah. I'm not going to hold back. And you get an apple pie. I'm just saying.
It's a good date. And when McDonald's opens, we'll sit down inside and go to nice dinner.
Right. You can unfold that paper napkin on your lap. I'm just saying.
That's right, baby. Oh, man. Well, Nune, thank you. I really appreciate you coming on and dealing with our stupidity. It's been very informative. And mutual friend Pete, who got you on the show, who's been on the show, says you know quite a bit about the situation over in Armenia, and we like to talk about topical stuff. So I would hope maybe that you would want to come back and talk to us about the war that's going on over there and kind of inform people as to all the kind of crazy bullshit that's happening. If you wouldn't mind, that would be great.
Love to do that.
Okay, great. And Merv and Ed, great as always. It's Brothers in Arms CBD. Go check them out. Go to warstoriesofficial.com and click on their logo in our shopping section, and then it'll take you to their website and you can, for all your CBD needs... and you guys ship
radio voice
for all your CBD needs. You guys ship globally and everything like that.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Anywhere that's legal, except for like the Middle East, which is not legal at all. We're good. Great.
Okay. Well, then until our next episode, we will see you all in the locker room.